Alan Crane Productions, in association with the Emergent Life Studio, present the Illinois State Collegiate Compendium, Academic Lectures in Business and Economics. This is Business Finance, FIL 240, for autumn semester 2025. Today, bond prices and yields. This is a finishing up lecture for the bonds chapter, and then we'll move on in the next lecture to the current chapter in your schedule. Let me get myself put together here. But before we do that, our traditional look at the numbers, and the numbers are downright unusual. We had a hard down day on Friday, and now we've got a surging up day today. But if you notice, the Dow 30 is up 1.11%. Then, not surprisingly, the S&P is up a little bit higher, 1.37%. And then the NASDAQ is up 2%. Very typical risk-return kind of profile. But you notice that the big surge in these actually happened at the opening bell. After the opening bell, once the prices had jumped, then there was very little more movement upward after that. So the good news was impounded right away in the markets when they opened, and then after that, no more good news or bad news, so they just kind of drifted for the most part. And we'll see what happens from here. There are bulls and bears on both sides of this, and they are really at odds about what's coming. But if we look over, where was it? Oh, and the Nikkei was almost exactly the opposite. Over in Japan last night, the Tokyo Exchange took a drop hard on its opening, and then it floated along after that. And similar, well, not really. If I'm looking at this right, yeah, the Hang Seng actually dropped hard, and then it had another drop, and then it tried to recover. But that, I mean, I can't even interpret that. But you got the Euro, the European exchange was actually jumped on the opening, then it slid and made a little bit of a recovery, both the Euronext and then the CAC. Yeah, there's nothing there. Same happened in London. It would jumped on the opening, and then it dropped down, and then it recovered. But over here on our side, it didn't show that pattern at all. It just jumped on the opening, and it just didn't go anywhere from there. Now, coming down here, gas, crude oil is now down, the overall crude is down below 60 a barrel. It just keeps getting lower. The supply is of oil is just extraordinary, and that's just suppressing oil prices, and they'll stay down. You're going to see gasoline probably get eventually to maybe $2.79, $2.89 a gallon. So that's going to be good for the economy and good for your wallets, but the long-term consequence is that all the small oil companies are just leaving, and so ultimately, when the price goes through the roof, there won't be anyone to produce that because the supply will be cut off. Saudi Arabia and those countries will just suddenly shut it off for some phony reason, and then all of a sudden the price of oil is going to skyrocket. But there won't be any producers. The small producers, mid-sized producers, they will already be gone. So there won't be anyone to fill in that supply gap once the OPEC plus countries cut off the oil. It's a game they've played before. We've seen it over my lifetime. Three, four times, and this is the same game they're doing now. Where is it? Survey says gold. We're now above $4,100 an ounce. We will, I don't know, by the time the semester is over, we may see $5,000 an ounce on gold. Just staggering, the gold surge is. And there are a couple of artificial intelligence models that are forecasting that within 3 years it will be $10,000 an ounce. Ask them why, and they start talking about the lack of confidence in currencies, the collapse of economies. It's really kind of scary what they think is going to happen. I hope they're wrong, but I do want to show you something here. This is the price of gold over the last 5 years. As you can see, this is not normal. Over the past 5 years, this run-up that we're seeing now is unprecedented. It is something that's not a good thing. If, remember the flight to quality from stocks to bonds, from bonds to gold, from gold to bullets? Well, here's the gold surge. And it's in front of any collapse of the stock market and the bond market. This is pure speculation that something very dark is going to happen down the road, not too far from now. And like I said, by the end of the year, by the time this course is over, we may see it spike. It's accelerating. See how it's accelerating? It was up on this curve here, and then it picked up a little more steepness and got a breather, and now it is really steep. That's an acceleration, and it's happening in bursts. And so, again, $5,000 an ounce is not impossible by the time this course is over. We'll see, though. Nothing like something exciting to keep us busy. Let me lay off the markets here for the rest of the day, and I'll focus on getting you so that you can do bonds. And as I said, this is entirely, I make it as much as possible an Excel kind of routine, so that you don't have to think too much about what you're doing. Now, there's one piece of this that I don't have in Excel yet, and I will put it in, but I'll explain what it is. It has to do with what are called clean and dirty prices of bonds. It's not hard to do by hand. You have to think about it, a little bit of algebra to do it, but it's not that bad. But I will bake it into this sheet. The first one that you want, thing I want you to do, is download the bond calculations enhanced. And while you're at that, go ahead and sign into Attendance Radar so I can get your attendance for the day. Hang on. See what's going on here. There we go. I was acting up there for a second. While you're doing that, let me give you a little explanation of what I'm doing, what the moving parts of a bond are. The first things first, and this is a little bit of review, just to make sure you're on track with me. I'm going to write a bond up here. Now, this again is not the label that you actually see on a bond. They have these long strings that tell the company and the date of maturity and all that. And I'm writing in a more summary form, which is what I'll use on a quiz or an exam. But in this case, you have a bond issued by CVS. It pays a coupon per year of 3.225% of face value. And face value is always $1,000. Now, sometimes you'll hear, well, the face value is 100. That's a quote. Remember that a quote is a tenth of the actual price. And for some reason, Excel wants you to give quote for some things, but not others. Okay, so per year. So this bond will pay 3.225% times $1,000 every year, which is $32. Well, no, that's $3 and I can't do. Okay, 1% would be $10. $32.25 per year. Now, usually real bonds are actually paid a half of it each 6 months. So in that case, this would be $16.12.5 per 6 months. So that's what's going on with this bond. Now, over here is the year of maturity. So 2029 less 2025 is 4 years. That 4 is the term of the bond, how long it has left. That's what Excel wants, is the term. That's what we always want. We don't really care when this bond was issued. This bond was probably issued in 2005, or in 2009, or maybe even 1999 if it's a 30-year bond. But that is irrelevant now. What this means is that if you were to buy this bond on the secondary market, and these are out there, plenty of them are out there, you would then become the bond holder. And you would become the recipient of record of these checks every 6 months. You would also be the recipient of the $1,000 in 4 years. As long as you keep the bond, you don't sell it to someone else. Notice why we call these a fixed income investment. It's not like stock prices that can go up and down, or dividends that could be paid but they might not be paid. This will happen, and it's a fixed amount of money. So for example, if you're a retiree, bonds would be attractive because you know you get the same thing every 6 months. You go out to your mailbox. Well, the day I get my bond interest check. So that in that way, they are a very attractive investment. Also for a lot of funds that don't want a lot of excitement, fanciness, they just sort of pay and pay and pay. Now, interestingly enough, though, the thing about bonds is that their prices usually float around $1,000. And this is time. Let's say 2029, and this is where we are now in 2025. And here's our price axis. Now, what's going to happen is this bond is going to float. It'll stay near, as long as the CVS stays in business, it'll stay near $1,000. Because, I mean, you're going to get $1,000 at the end. So whatever happens to interest rates in the macro environment, whatever happens to the risk of CVS, The bond is probably going to stay around $1,000. Now, if CVS started having problems or interest rates went up, the price might go down. Here, it's at a premium to par. Here, it's at a discount to par. But no matter what, as you approach maturity, the bond is going to approach, as the term approaches zero, the price is going to approach $1,000. Because if on the day of maturity, you get $1,000 and the bond is ended. So they're going to, no matter which way it happens, even if it were at a premium to par, it's in general, they will always, at term zero, if they're above, they'll come down on it. If they're below, they'll come up on it. I usually ask this on a quiz or the final exam. Bonds tend toward par value as the maturity date approaches, because on the maturity date, there's $1,000, whoever is the holder, that's it. Okay, so we need for a bond its face value. We need its coupon. We need its term. That's what Excel is wanting. Now, it will want one of the other two parameters of the bond. It will need the price or the yield. If we know the price, we can find the yield. If we know the yield, we can find the price. They are just mathematically perfectly related to each other. And after you've done them for a while, and I encourage you to just play with it a little bit, you will see that these are not that difficult, and it begins to make sense what's going on with bonds. That yield is what investors think the coupon should be. It's their required rate of return on the investment in the bond. The price is how they reflected in buys and sells on the bond. So in other words, if a coupon, let's say you have a coupon of, oh, let's say 5%. That's what the bond's going to pay. It's in the indenture agreement that was signed long ago or whatever. What's going on here is that coupon will stay the same, but investors will change their minds about the required rate of return. When the bond indenture agreement was signed, their minds were saying 5%, but it won't stay there because the investors, the millions of investors, will have a consensus from day to day about what it should be. Let's say that on one day, what the investors think it should pay is 5.2%. Well, the coupon is, the company saying, you're getting 5%. I don't care what you want. So what investors are going to do is that will cause them to sell the bonds, which will make the price go down below par of 1,000. They're punishing the bond because it's not meeting their requirement. That's all they're doing. They're just punishing the bond. Well, suppose that on another day, investors are saying, oh, that bond really is paying a little more than we really want. So what we want is 4.90%. So investors will say, geez, this is paying better than we want. So they will buy the bonds. And that will cause the bond price to start rising above par. The market, in other words, the market is telling us what the investors want through the price. But that's another way of saying the inverse of the yield. So if a bond is selling below par, we say it is selling at a discount to par. If it's selling above 1,000, we say that it is selling at a premium to par. Now do these with me, because the machinery of it isn't anything spectacular at all. Get it baked into your muscle memory so that when you get to a quiz or an exam, you can just put it in and look at the result and say, yeah, that tracks. Let me do that CVS bond. Let's say that that CVS bond, we're going to talk about the CVS bond right here, is suppose that right now the yield to maturity is right now on that 3.2, the yield to maturity is 3.15% right now on that CVS bond. If you look at the coupon is more than that. So investors are going to say, gee, that bond's paying more than we want, so we're going to buy it and push its price up. Go to your spreadsheet here, for heaven's sakes. I don't want to. Let me pull this over here so you can see it. There we go. Now, I've tried to make this about as clear as possible. So we are here, we calculate the price. We know the yield. I told you the yield. So now, that should be blue. I should change that. I thought I did. No, the price. Oh, no, I'm fine. I'm sorry. I thought I'd done something wrong. So the coupon that we listed was 3.225%. Now, right now, the yield to maturity is only 3.15%. The term of the bond is 4 years. Now, this one, the coupons in real life, they're 2 a year. And the reason I made it so that you could put one is because your Cengage homework starts you out with one coupon per year. It really is not going to make a whole lot of difference, and I will give enough width on your right answer on a quiz or an exam so that you could put either one in and you'll get it. But let's leave it at 2. So as you can see, this bond is selling at a premium to par because the coupon is a little better than they want, so they'll buy it, push the price up above par. That's all you do. I want you to notice something. Remember what I said, that whenever as a bond term approaches zero, the bond's price approaches par. Watch what happens when we drop the term to 3 years. Now let's get it to 2 years. You see how it's coming down on par? 1 year. 73. Watch this. On the day that the bond matures, in other words, at term zero, look at that. Of course it's going to sell at par because you're about to get a $1,000 check in the mail and the bond's dead. So it tracks quite nicely this way. Four. I'll put it back to the four. Now watch one thing. I should show you this. Watch what happens if I change the coupons from half of the coupon every 6 months to just one full coupon a year. That it's $1,002.80 right now. See, it really doesn't change much at all as far as price and yield go. And so, you know, it's a minor matter. But there is something that I'm going to show you that kind of makes it a little more important. But for right now, we're good to go. Now, let me take you back here. And let's look at if we know the price and we want to find the yield. This is the realistic scenario. Because markets trade in prices, the yield is implied from the price. So in a case like this, the more realistic thing would be, what happens if I said, well, this bond has a price right now of $989.50. That is a more difficult thing. Now, if you do it on paper, this thing is a terribly difficult. It just takes forever to calculate it because you're actually taking a present value and trying different interest rates back and forth until you get the one you want. And it really gets to be, back in the day, this was just kind of a tedious thing to do. But we'll do it here. Now, there's one problem here. You notice that Excel wants the bond's quote on the 100. That's a tenth of the actual price. So we'll fix that in a minute. Up here, you just put in the term, one, first thing, 4 years. Now, for Excel to do this problem, it wants the settlement date, that's the date you buy it, or today. Let's say it's today. And the exact date of maturity. I save you having to do that because when you do put in the term, it calculates when it was, it's over, based upon the current date. So you don't have to do that. But Excel actually wants the settlement and maturity dates, and it calculates the term on its own. I turn it around so that I give the term, and then it calculates the settlement and maturity dates, so you don't have to. So that saves a little pain. Now let's put in the coupon, 3.225%. Now notice that this bond this calculation likes on the 100. So I'm going to put the par value at 100. Excel calls that the redemption. In other words, you're redeeming the bond for $1,000. So I put it in the way Excel likes it. You don't have to touch that. It wants everything on the 100. Now the frequency, well, let's put that at 2 years. Now I have to put in the price, but this is actually a tenth of the price. Now the way I do it, and you can do it whatever way you wish, is if I don't give you the quote, then you just take equals and you say, okay, what price did he say? $989.50, and I just divide it by 100. By 10. I will mostly give you the quote, so you don't have to do this. But if you get a homework problem in Cengage, they might give you the price, so you have to do the tenth of it. But once I've done that, there you go. There's your yield. Do you notice that the price was below par? And that means that the required rate of return investors were expecting would be above the coupon rate. So it's kind of like a confirmation. Okay, this tracks. I see it. And again, I'm taking you through some detail, but in your practice using this, it's just a matter of getting the numbers in and remembering that stupid thing about how Excel wants a quote when it's working on a yield. But other than that, this is all you need to remember about it. I'm going to do another bond here and show you something that can happen. Here's a TVL 4.9%. 2036. I mean, really, there's not a whole lot you need to do in this to kick it in. But let me throw in a little twist over here. There's a call provision in this bond. In other words, the company can pay off the bond if it wants to in 2030. That's not that unusual. I shouldn't say that. It's there. But let me show you how we do this. There's the yield to maturity, the YTM. And then there is another one, the yield to call. Let's say that the price of this bond is right now, I don't know, $1,012.20. Let's just say that. Now the yield to maturity is going to be, the term of this bond is 11 years. There's 11 years. It's going to be alive for 11 more years. So we can kick that one in right away. 11. And then we go down here, put in the coupon, 4.95%. Now the frequency, we'll leave it 2. Now this one, again, we're going to have to turn it into a quote from a price. So we just put in equals 1,000. What did I say? $1,012.20 divided by 10. Remember, if it is a real price, you divide by 10. If I give you a quote, you don't have to do that. And a lot of times, for a yield, I just give you the quote, so you don't have to mess with this. But anyway, now this was selling at a premium to par, so we should expect the yield to be below the coupon. Yes, it is. See how the yield is 4.81%. I mean, this is the investors want 4.81%. They're getting 4.95%, so they're going to buy the bond and push its price up above par. That's all there is to it. So the yield to maturity is 4.81%. Well, how do you do the yield to call? It's easy. It really is easy. You just change the term of the bond and assume that it's called on the date that it's on the year that it's allowed to call. So in other words, we're just going to say this bond is going to be called in and ended in 5 years. 4.67%. YTC, what did it come out to be? 4.67%. That's all there is to it. Just change the term to the first year a call can happen. That's all there is to it. So I can give you some problems that will look pretty badass And you know you could just push it in here and that's how you get it. And if there's anyone bitching about, well, you should be doing it with a calculator and accounting tables, we all do it with Excel now because some of us actually went through the crap of doing this by hand years ago. Yeah, this is how we do it nowadays. And that's really about all there is to this. Make sure you understand some things. Let me do something here. I'm going to go over here to the price and show you something. Let me take, I might as well use the 4.95% and put in a yield to maturity of, let's say, 4.8%. And this bond, let's say, has 11 years left. Now, notice the spread between coupon and yield. The spread here between coupon and yield is 0.15%. And if I haven't mentioned it before, every hundredth of a percent is called a basis point. So the spread between coupon and yield here is 15 basis points. So notice what happens as the spread increases. Let's put it, the price of the bond is now $1,012.70. Let's increase the spread. Let's say the yield is 4.7%. Watch. Do you see how the price goes up? As the spread increases in a positive direction, the price rises. Let me say that again. Write it down. As the spread increases between coupon and yield, the price gets farther from par. Watch this. Let me take it down to 4.6%. So the we now have a spread of 25 basis points. Do you see how the bond is moving further from par? Now let's take it the other way. Let's say that the yield is 5.05%, 10 basis points to the south. It's selling at a discount because the required rate of return is above the coupon. Now let's take it farther south. 5.15%, 20 basis points. 5.25%, 30 basis points. Do you see again that what's happening is that the increasing spread is moving the price further from par. As the spread increases, the price moves further from par. As the spread increases, the price moves further from par. So now let's see the opposite. Suppose that the price is, the spread is getting thinner. Let's take it back down to 5.05%, 15 basis points. It's $991.64. Let's narrow the spread down to 5.00%. Look at that. See how as the spread decreases, the price moves closer to par. So the more the spread, the further from par. The less the spread, the closer to par. I'm going to say this again, get it in your notes because it's a classic question on a quiz or an exam. The bigger the spread, the further from par. The smaller the spread, the closer to par the price will be. I'm trying to telegraph a punch to you so you can do a good duck on it when you get to it. Well, that was fun. Now, the one thing bad about teaching this bond stuff is that there are these little side streams, and you really have to be kind of comfortable with the main river here before these side streams really mean a whole lot to you. But there are some that are useful for us. Let me see if I've got something here. Yeah. I don't. Okay, let me get back over to where I was. There we go. Okay, one little side stream is that investors think of bonds sort of like they do stocks in some ways. There's one ratio that is kind of interest to investors sometimes. It's got different names, but it's sometimes called the coupon ratio. What they do is they'll take the coupon value divided by the current price of the bond. It's sort of like calculating a dividend yield, except they're considering the dividend to be the coupon. Remember, a dividend yield is just the price of the dividend, how much the dividend is, divided by the current price. And in a case like this, we would want to know, okay, what's the dividend yield in a coupon sort of way? So this coupon, let me put this back out here at, let's say, 4.085%. So in order to calculate this coupon ratio, we would take the coupon's value, which is 4.95% of $1,000, and divide it by the current price, which right now is $1,008 and that'll give you sort of like a dividend yield on it. So you're going to get $49.50 a year for a price of $1,008.50. So if I were to do this, calculator, I'd say 4.95, just to make sure that, wait, clear, 0.04, what did I want, 95 times 1,000. That's what you're going to get every year for this. Divided by what you paid for the bond, $1,008.45. So the coupon yield on this bond is 4.91%. It's just sort of a side calculation you can do. And some investors kind of like to do this. I'm getting a fixed coupon, a certain amount of cash in the mail. Divide that by what I'm paying to get that coupon. That's all this is. So in other words, if you pay a low price for a bond, you're probably going to get a better cash ratio. But if you pay a lot for the bond, this bond's selling at a premium to par, it's not going to be as good. So you probably want to buy bonds when they're maybe a little below par, not too far, because that gets nasty. Now I'm going to show you one last stupid pet trick here. The difference between a clean and a dirty price on a bond. And I think I'm going to bake that into this sheet so that it's not as calculation-wise quite as messy. conceptually it kind of makes sense, but sometimes I even screw this one up. Let me show you something. Let's say V, J, J, 5.00%, 20/38. So the term of this bond is 13 years. You're going to get a $50 check in the mail every year, but you'll get actually $25 every 6 months. Now suppose that the price right now is $980, just to make it simple, use simple numbers here. Now here's a timeline of what's going to happen. So in 6 months, we'll start 6 months from now. In 6 months, you're going to get a $50. And in six more months, you'll get $50. Suppose that you sell that bond. In, let's say, 90 days. First of all, this right here is called the clean price. That's the one you'll see quoted. That's the one you're going to see quoted on the ticker symbols. Your broker's going to say that price. But that's not what's about to happen. In 90 days, 30, 60, whoop, I better tighten those up. 30, 60, 90 days. In 90 days, you're going to get $980. Someone bought the bond from you. However, that bond actually has part of a coupon in it. You got a coupon, and then someone bought that bond. So, in other words, there are 3/4 of $50. 90 divided by 120 is 3/4 of that bond. Excuse me. Someone else gets that bond. So someone else gets $50 because someone else bought that before the bond was complete. Yeah.
Wouldn't it be 3/4 of $25?
I'm just testing you. That's good. You caught what I did. I wanted to see if any. And it would have come out wrong. Yeah. No, you're going to get, $25. You're right. Because I did it as halves. I should have just done the full one. 25, because you're going to get $50 per year. You're right. Yeah, correct that. He's going to get a $25 coupon, but I own the bond for 3/4 of that time. So he's getting a whole $25, even though he held the bond for only 1/4 of the time that interest was accumulating. So in this case, 3/4 of 25 is, I can't even do that, 0.75 times. I really need to get a calculator, a real one. Okay, 0.75 times 25. So he actually owes me $18.75 because he held the bond just a fourth of the time that the $25 was accumulating. So that is the clean price, is the $980. The dirty price after I get my money back from him is $18.75. Oh, I can't do crap in my head anymore. Too much alcohol. No, too much something. 980 minus 1875. 961.25. And that's a plus. I'm sorry. I did that backwards. That's the dirty price of the bond. That's what the buyer is going to pay. Because he pays me the $980. But then he's going to get $25, that part of which he didn't earn. So he's going to actually have to pay. And this is all worked out in the transaction. The dirty price, because he's getting $25 and he didn't own the bond for the whole $25. He owned the bond for only a fourth of that time. So the other 3/4, he has to pay me because that was my money. I was the holder of record of the bond at that time. So the dirty price is going to be more than the clean price. So the first thing is, it will be the coupon divided by 2 for 6 months. Then times the, the number of days over 180. I can't click on anything. Let's try this. $31.25, instead of using the mouse. Clear. Try this one more time. $31.25 times 140 divided by 180. I can't do it. Something just keeps slipping every time I do it. 140 divided by 180. I am about to say F this. 140 divided by 180 times $31.25, $24.31, plus the daggone price, $1,018.50. Whoa. Thank God. $1,042.81. $1,042.81. That's why we have Excel to do this. So I'll put it in Excel. And all you will need to do is put in the input the coupon and the it will take care of the rest of it. And how many days before the next check, next coupon check. That's enough for today. That's all I have for you. I thank you.